ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Nightlife crime.
Well, if you're a working parent, you know just how expensive childcare is. Many of us scramble to get the kids fed and changed and dressed and out the door on time. And then comes the next stage of chaos, the car, bus or train trip before cuddles and a few tears at drop-off. Then, of course, we scramble to get to work on time before we repeat and the delightful anarchy at pick-up. All of this effort, most of, if not all, of our paychecks go on exorbitant childcare fees. But, okay, we love the kids and the carers and everyone does a great job and so it's all worth it. Some crimes are easy to spot. Others are much more difficult to uncover. No one would expect their neighbour to be running a multi-million dollar criminal fraud syndicate. How would you feel if you found out that someone living in your quiet suburban street was caught out cheating the system of $13 million in childcare benefits? It's enough to make your blood boil, I would imagine. This is exactly what happened, though, in Melbourne in 2015. Police caught out the fraudsters, a mother and her two adult children, by conducting an intensive surveillance operation. The Australian Federal Police has partnered with Casefile for season two of the podcast Crime Interrupted. Joining us, Detective Acting Superintendent Amanda Glover, who worked on Operation Corliss with the AFP Fraud and Anti-Corruption Team and features on the podcast. Acting Superintendent Amanda Glover, good evening. Welcome to Nightlife.
Good evening. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you with us too. Take us back to 2015. How did you even find out that something was suspicious was going on in the first place?
We were contacted by the then Department of Education and Training, who had noticed a family daycare service provider was claiming 100% of their claims as the grandparent childcare benefit. Now, this was highly suspicious and highly unusual.
Just explain why.
So most family daycare service providers or childcare claim about 20% or so of their childcare fees of this particular type of payment. Mm-hmm. So for the service provider to have all of their educators claiming the grandparent childcare benefit was very suspicious.
Yes. Okay. So is it a higher payment or is it, what was the reason for it, do we think?
It was 100% subsidy from the government.
Oh, got it. So, got it. Okay.
So there was no co-payment. It was designed to help grandparents who were, you know, helping out their grandchildren by providing them care because their parents weren't able to.
Okay, so this was a tip-off, was it? Or was it just something that showed up in the education department's systems?
It showed up in the education department system, and when they looked a little deeper, they found it was a family group head who had already been closed down for non-compliance.
Aha. So, all right, so alarm bells ring. Once you get the report, what happens next in this fraud investigation? How do you sort of begin?
So we begin by understanding the childcare scheme and then looking at what's going on. Are they providing care? We look at surveillance. We cross-reference with immigration records to see if they're in the country. We try and find out if they're doing other employment. And so we piece together this puzzle as to what's fraud and what's not.
Okay. So yeah, this involved actually having to stake out these supposed childcare centres, did it, to see whether they're actually doing any childcare?
Absolutely. We deployed surveillance and we did not see any children turning up to be provided care.
Okay. So at the claimed address where there was childcare supposedly happening, so you sat there all day and thought, well, there's no kids ever turned up or been dropped off or picked up.
That's exactly right.
Mm. Okay. The amount that was being claimed in this case is staggering, around $800,000 a fortnight.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
I mean, it's extraordinary, really. $800,000 a fortnight in childcare claims being paid out for 57 educators. Apparently, the educators claimed they worked 50 hours a week for a family daycare business, which was called what? Hello Children Family Daycare.
Yes, Hello Children Family Daycare. And they'd found a loophole where they could charge $35 an hour per child. So if you do the math, that's upwards of $20,000 a fortnight per educator.
Okay. All right, but there were no 57 educators. There were no daycare centres. What was there? Just one address?
So the way the family daycare system works is the Hello Children does the administrative work and the childcare is undertaken in people's homes.
Right. Okay, so did they have the addresses of the homes themselves?
Yeah, so they had all the addresses, they had all the data, they were paying the educators, so all these 57 educators were in on the scheme.
Oh, I see, right, okay. Yeah, take me through that. So they were claiming to look after kids too, but of course they weren't.
That's exactly right. So the service provider then paid these educators a portion of the money.
So they were in on the scheme. It must have been risky for them because you had 57 people who knew it was a fraud. Well, presumably more people who knew it was a fraud at any one time.
Yeah, so it was quite rife in the community at that time, and they were earning a lot of money.
Right. So on average, how much were the 57 getting?
Anywhere between $10,000 and $15,000 a fortnight, which is a lot of money. There's not very many jobs out there that pay that amount of money.
That is a huge amount of money. You're quite right. And so who was the mastermind of the scheme? Who was behind it all?
So it was the mother. Her name's Rosa.
Hmm.
And her two children. And they had learnt from the provider that they'd run previously how to exploit the system.
Right. Okay. So, all right. And do we know how Rosa recruited these other 57? Because that's quite a lot of people to recruit into a criminal enterprise, isn't it? I mean, normally criminal gangs are a bit smaller than that.
Yeah. So it was an ethnic community in the western suburbs of Melbourne, predominantly. So it was something that was spoken about within that community as to this is a great way of making some money.
Oh, I see. Okay. So did you stake out each of the 57 addresses or just a few of them?
Just a few of them. 57's a little bit beyond.
I was going to say that would be a big operation. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, it's sort of complicated to keep going, isn't it, in a sense? So in essence, it was all just paperwork, was it? They made the claims. I mean, did they have supposed children? I mean, were their children attached to names and addresses or? As well.
Yeah, there was children attached. There was Centrelink records. So they're all legitimate children with legitimate parents, legitimate grandparents.
Where did they all come from?
So they were all staying at home with their families. It was just all done on the paperwork.
Aha. Uh-huh. So, all right. So in other words, there was a huge number of people involved in this fraud then.
Hundreds of people.
Yeah. Yeah, that's quite a recruiting job, isn't it, to recruit? Although, presumably, this mastermind Rosa said, look, I know a great way to make money if you'd like to join up.
Yeah, and then a couple of people join up and then they talk to their friends and they become involved in the scheme and so on and so forth.
Okay, so the educators getting the money, they were separate from the parents. Were the parents of the kids getting money, getting a cut too? I suppose they were they?
Yeah, and a lot of the educators were also parents.
Oh, okay.
And they were having their children claimed as well.
Gee, nice work if you can find it, hey? yeah, all right. So who is this? What sort of person is this Rosa? I mean, does she have form, as they say in the game? I mean, has she had previous criminal convictions or what sort of person was she?
No previous criminal convictions. An immigrant who had come to Australia and, had been looking for work, found herself working for other people in the family daycare sector.
Mm-hmm.
Started to learn about it and then decided to go out do it with her children.
Mm. So presumably it needed some sort of computer systems to keep track of everything, did it? But that's, as you say, what's just essentially paperwork. So they were doing it, out of the living room of their home, were they?
No, they had a business premises in the western suburbs of Melbourne and they'd set it up so that it appeared like a legitimate business.
Oh, okay. What, with a sign at the front saying hello to family daycare?
Exactly.
So you staked it out but never found any parents going in or out?
There were parents going in and out to
collect paperwork
and
to collect their dough.
Collect their money.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So how did So you've staked it out. Then how do you assemble the evidence here? Because you have to do a raid, do you?
Yeah, so we collected evidence. We also worked with our state regulatory partners to do compliance visits.
Mm-hmm.
We shut them down again.
I mean, presumably with one visit, you'd find out that it was all a fraud. Or was it a bit more sophisticated than that?
It was a bit more sophisticated than that. And there's a difference between non-compliance with regulations and collecting enough evidence for a criminal prosecution.
Exactly. That's right. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, that's right, a criminal prosecution requires a high bar of proof. When the Rosa is interviewed, she says, all these family daycare centres are out there, you can go and visit them. And
yeah, there was no confession to the fraud, except when we got to the point of court, everybody involved in the scheme pleaded guilty.
Is that right? Yeah. Yes, you'd think that's right at some points, because someone's going to blab, aren't they? Was there a confession which spilled the best of them, did they all jointly decide the game is up?
No, there was one of the people who provided a statement following her conviction and was quite, I would say, quite pivotal in having the family group confess in the end.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, so I'm speaking with the Detective Acting Superintendent Amanda Glover about a multi-million-dollar childcare fraud. Quite extraordinary, I mean, the scope of it. We're talking $13 million in misappropriated childcare benefits through a complex, well, I think it's probably fair to say it's complex, a scheme involving just fake family daycare centres and providers, none of which actually existed, and they were all claimed for, and everybody was in on it. So as you say, there were actually hundreds of people in on this, weren't there?
Yes, that's
right. How many ended up being prosecuted?
We had 13 people be prosecuted in the end.
Right. What about the rest of them?
Those people were referred to Centrelink and to the Department of Education and to the tax office for those departments to undertake compliance, regulatory and potentially fines. Right.
Even though that all in arguably committed a crime as well.
Arguably.
Yeah.
But as we talked about before, there's a level of evidence required.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes compliance activities are an appropriate course of action.
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying. That's right. Building an actual criminal case against all of them could be extremely time consuming. Often with supposed white collar crime, this is the kind of thing we're talking about in a way. It's hard to get a substantial sentence because people don't view it as a crime with any victims. After all, who are you defrauding? You're defrauding the government, who cares? I mean, that seems to be the attitude in a way, isn't it? And it's quite hard sometimes for police to get courts to hand out serious sentences. What happened in this case?
Oh, absolutely. And, my point of view in this case is that we're all the victims.
Yeah.
This is our taxpayers' money. And the court in this situation sentenced the mother, Rosa, and her son to 4 years imprisonment.
Mm-hmm.
And then two of the other educators were also sentenced to custodial sentences. So in a fraud matter, this is a really important outcome. Mm.
Some people might say that's a pretty light sentence in a way. Did you ever get any of the money back?
We got some money back. One educator had put their money into purchasing a property, and our criminal asset confiscation task force were able to have that property restrained and forfeited to the Commonwealth, as well as two luxury vehicles that Rosa and her son had. But unfortunately, the majority of the money was withdrawn in cash or shared around the community, and no assets were purchased.
Mm. So basically, you might argue that hundreds of people actually got away with it in the end.
Absolutely.
Mm. Yes, it's fascinating. It's and you get some indication of just how difficult it can be for police trying to get results out of this. Still, in this particular instance, you might say that's a better result than perhaps normal in this kind of crime, would you think, Amanda?
Oh, absolutely. In my experience, over the last 20 years, fraud is unlikely to get a significant custodial sentence. So I think the courts are really recognising that there's a deterrent effect in custodial sentences, and that was reflected in legislative reform to increase the penalty for this particular offence from 5 years to 10 years post this operation.
Yeah, interesting. All right, terrific to talk with you, Amanda, and get some understanding of how these kinds of crimes are committed and how they are detected as well. Great to talk. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.